The scripture reading today is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is a familiar verse to many of you, or passage to many of you. Some of you are like Joyce Oatley, who like to take the Bible from the end and follow along in the passage. I would point out that this message is a paraphrased translation. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name is Zacchaeus, the head tax man, and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran on ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he went by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give half my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages." Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." So ends our reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we invite you into our presence here today. We ask that you speak some words that we need to hear. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a little bit redundant after the masks, but how many of you are planning or have already dressed up for Halloween this year? Not too many. Okay. In my experience, when it comes to costumes, adults fall into one of about three categories. There are the people who love them and never ever outgrow them. I see that Sarah is one of those people. There are the people who can be talked into wearing them on occasion if they're not too outrageous. I'm imagining Joyce is one of those people. And then there are the people who will have nothing to do with them whatsoever. It's too embarrassing. If we can get these folks to attend a Halloween party at all, that last group of people, they're the ones who, when you ask what they're dressing up as, will say, "Myself." There tends to be disappointment, whether you're the one saying that or hearing it. Some costume, no disguise at all. So here we are, another Sunday, another tax collector. This week we have a head tax collector who would essentially have been the boss of the publican tax collector we talked about last week. He's quite rich, we're told, as though not all head tax collectors are. And his name is Zacchaeus, which literally translates to clean or innocent. A bit ironic, given what we know about tax collectors in Jewish society, right? That they're in collusion with the Roman Empire and have a tendency to line their own pockets with other people's money. Zacchaeus is also short in stature, though some commentators suggest that it may well be Jesus who was short in stature, and he had to climb up in a tree to be able to see Jesus. So apparently he was also a pretty good tree climber, although the tree he was climbing was a low-lying variety. Unlike the sycamores in North America, it was actually a fig tree, and a cheap variety of fig tree. Its fruit mostly fed people well below Zacchaeus' economic standing. So it was an interesting place for rich Zacchaeus to roost. So imagine you've heard that Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And like the folks in DC this weekend, you've camped out on the side of the road for days waiting to see him. You're tired of the status quo and have heard that he is the Messiah, the one who is going to save the Jewish people from oppression once and for all. You can't wait to get a glimpse of him, or better yet, for him to get a glimpse of you, to cast his compassionate gaze upon you and heal you from all that ails you, as you hear he has done for so many people who have stumbled across his path. You're in the front row of the crowd, so chances are good. And here he comes. You can feel the excitement ripple through the crowd as Jesus and his entourage approach. Get ready. As you catch sight of his robe, you don the wide-eyed, sheepish grin you have been rehearsing in preparation for this moment. And then you look up to see his face. You focus hard. Look at me, look at me! He begins to turn in your direction, and you're bracing yourself. You're so excited. Oh my gosh, it's really gonna happen. And then the moment is gone, as quickly as it almost arrived. For behind you is a very odd sight, a small, sharply dressed man perched in a tree. He's got the designer suit, he's got the silk tie, he's got the fine Italian leather shoes and the Rolex watch. And now he's got Jesus' attention. Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be guest in your home, Jesus said to him, smiling broadly. Zacchaeus, are you kidding? The tax man? If that's who that is, well, he didn't come by that fine attire, honestly. Didn't inherit that money from his family. No, he stole it. He stole it from good, God-fearing folk like you and I. And now he's stolen Jesus' attention, too. Nobody has any respect for this guy. Everyone knows better than to give him the time of day. Why on earth would Jesus? And we're not alone in feeling this way. Sense the agitation spreading through the crowd. And join in the grumbling. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? We ask our closest neighbors, seething. We peer up at the little man. The delighted grin he wore just moments ago when Jesus singled him out has faded. Tears glisten in his eyes. Serves him right. Zacchaeus looks down at Jesus and is just barely able to get out. Master, I give away half my income to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times for the damages. And this may not mean much to you and I, especially when he says, if he's caught cheating. But what you need to know is that what he is doing is going above and beyond the Jewish law and the Roman law of his time. So really, this is a good deed, more or less. And so Jesus hears him and he affirms him. Today, salvation day, is this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. Yeah, whatever. Today, Zacchaeus gets healed instead of you and I in the crowd. We go home intact, but unmoved, unchanged, unhappy. But perhaps that's just it. Did Jesus really come to Jericho to change us? Or to offer the freedom of salvation that allows us to be fully human, more and more ourselves? Truth be told, the most elaborate costume we may ever don is myself. That is the persona we present to the world, including ourselves. It's not some ready-to-wear spook suit we just buy at Myers and throw on. No, we've been preparing, getting dressed since we were young children. Ever since our parents began to correct our baser urges and guide us toward more socially appropriate behaviors. We learned to share our toys, to say please and thank you, and to not speak every thought that popped into our heads. Then we went to school and learned to wait until we were called upon to speak, to stand in line, and to dress and act in ways that fit in. And we went to church, and we were taught how to be good Christians. Meanwhile, we desperately shoved the rejected pieces of ourselves deeper and deeper inside, learning to monitor them almost without realizing it. By the time we reach adulthood, our subtle personas, public personas, are almost perfectly calibrated. That is, except for the times when someone like Zacchaeus comes along to annoy and trigger us right out of our rubbery masks. Exposing the darkness that lurks deep within, also known as the shadow. We all wear these masks. In many ways, they're useful. They can define the role we fill in the world around us and help us feel comfortable with one another. Right now, I'm wearing the mask of a pastor. That's the persona I'm presenting to you. It's necessary to perform a function. It wouldn't be helpful very right now if I were wearing the mask of a plumber or a politician or a book editor. This morning, we all need me to play the role of pastor. Sometimes we also wear masks to protect ourselves from being too vulnerable to others. And that's not such a bad thing either. We all learn what we need to do to protect ourselves in life, and that includes knowing the appropriate masks to wear in different settings. But our masks become a problem for us when we use them to hide who we really are from other people so that no one can get to know us. Our masks become an even bigger problem when we try to hide behind them the truth about ourselves from ourselves. And our masks become the biggest problem of all when we use them in an attempt to hide who we really are from God. The truth is, despite our best efforts, God knows who we really are. And the more we deny it, rather than deal with it and try to integrate it, our shadow pieces become more and more problematic, causing us to see our own reflection in other people's faces and react, sometimes to ourselves and sometimes out loud, in ways that are hurtful and even destructive. But never fear, working on our shadows can be rich and rewarding work. Work that is not only deeply healing, but yields a more dynamic, interesting, and fun, authentic self. And God is in that mix, just beyond the mask of false self. We meet God by getting our personas out of the way, by being our true selves, open, undefended, and immediately present. The priest Richard Rohr has said, "Authentic religion is more about subtraction than addition, more letting go of false self than any attempt at engineering a true self. You can't create what you already have. God's spirit is dwelling within you. You cannot search for what you already have. You cannot talk God into coming into you by longer and more urgent prayers. All you can do is become quieter, smaller, and less filled with your own self and its flurry of ideas and feelings. Then God will be obvious in the very now of things." Finally, lest we fear that taking off our masks and finding God within ourselves means shooting for an unattainable goal of perfection, know that perfectionism itself is a mask and not the mark of an authentic self. And if we return to Zacchaeus once more, we will note that despite the good he did, the restitution he paid, and the good Jesus showed him in himself, he remained a head tax collector. He, like we, lived in an imperfect world. His healing, our healing, and the world's healing were and are a process. But the more we let our masks drop and humble ourselves to climb trees in our Sunday best to catch a glimpse of God and experience our own love of humanity, the closer we will be to authenticity and the redemptive realm of God. Amen.